Hi, friends. Welcome to Bayou de Beltway. I'm your host, Pearson Cross. Today, we are joined by Representative John Stefanski. Mr. Stefanski was born in Crowley, Louisiana, to the storied Stefanski family. He went to Notre Dame High School, then LSU for a bachelor's in history before going on to get a law degree at Loyola. He clerked for a while and then came back and worked with a family firm. That's a famous and storied firm in Crowley called Edward Stefanski & Zombreaker, with longtime political connections, although he is a Republican rather than a Democrat, as much of the rest of the firm was. He's in a seat currently, ran for office in 2017 to replace Jack Monasette, and has now been elevated to the chairperson of House Governmental Affairs Committee in charge of redistricting in Louisiana, at least on the House side. He has a counterpart on the Senate side, Sharon Hewitt. Welcome to the show.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for having me.
You are, most people probably don't really know what redistricting is all about. So what is redistricting and why is it important? And why should anyone who isn't living in Baton Rouge in the halls of the legislature care?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I mean, what is redistricting? In a nutshell, it's every 10 years we do a census here in this country where we count all the people, and we have to redraw the lines to make sure that the districts are proportionate in population. So, I mean, that's in its essence redistricting. Now, I mean, why should people care? Well, I would argue that, I mean, if you vote and you have an interest in who any of your representatives are from the state level to the federal level and even some other areas, you should be paying very close attention to this, because after we finish redrawing these lines, it will determine who and how you can vote.
Now, explain what you mean by that. So what do the lines have to do with who you vote for and how you vote and all those kinds of things?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, from a pure geography perspective, number one, you know, depending on where you live, that determines not only your voting location, but what type of candidate you can vote for and what area will he represent. So, I mean, the easiest one is Congress. You know, I mean, everybody has a general grasp of the congressional districts and who their congressmen are. And the state legislature is responsible for drawing those federal lines, you know. And so if you have an interest in who your congressman is or at least what other parishes you're going to be grouped in and who you're going to vote for, this is a very, very important process.
So just to do the kind of civics lesson on this part of it, if you're voting for your congressperson, you're voting for a person in a particular district. You're not voting for – you're one of six in Louisiana, and you're voting for people who are running in that district but no other district. And that's the same for every district in Louisiana, for every district. And actually, your committee draws a bunch of different districts. What are all the districts you draw?
Yeah, so the state constitution actually vests the power of redrawing both the House of Representatives, so the state house, which is 105 of those districts, the state senate, also Congress, which we just discussed, the Public Service Commission, the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education, as well as the judiciary. So we are vested with the power to redraw all of those districts.
It's an enormous task. So each one of those districts then has to have a certain number of citizens in it in order that are sort of equal, right? All those districts have to be equal in some way?
Absolutely. And the most equal one is actually Congress. So Congress, you have a mandate to get down to the exact person. So you have to try as hard as possible and justify why you didn't draw all of, let's take Louisiana, for example, these six congressional districts exactly the same. All of the other districts, you want to get to that equal number, but you're allowed a little leeway, and the court and the case law has said that we get a little deviation off of that. And what we like to commonly try to do here in Louisiana is a plus or minus 5%. So you're trying to get to that ideal population in all these districts, but you can go over a little bit or under a little bit as long as you stay within that 5% range.
So a plus or minus 5% means that if you're drawing the 105 districts for the House in Louisiana, no district could be more than 10 percentage points away from any other district.
Exactly. And that new ideal, so if we take the total population of Louisiana, we divide it by 105, we get that new ideal of 44,000, approximately 400. I think the exact number is 359. And so you're exactly right. You got to get in that percentage of that number.
Yeah. In terms of Congress, they can be really sticky. There was a case where the Justice Department threw out on a suit a congressional district in Pennsylvania because they could have another map that worked that corrected it by 19 persons.
Yeah, no, and I'll tell you, that is the goal. With Congress, it really is down to the exact person. And part of the defense or the attack in a case where you're going after one of these districts of basically why they should have done a better job is, look at this alternative map. This alternative map got it within 19 people. This map got it within 50 people. So we should have used this map, and you're exactly right. And look, the reason for that is that it goes back to what you just asked me. Why is this so important to the everyday person? That it is that important that we have equal representation in our state down to the as close to perfect as you can get.
And this, of course, was not always the case. So if you go back to the 50s and 60s, you had districts that, you know, had 20 times as many people in them, not necessarily in Louisiana, but in other states. I know in Tennessee, where the famous Baker versus Carr case was, and then in California, some of those Senate districts were pretty wildly skewed. But that's not the case anymore. So the courts have kind of said in a series of decisions that these districts have to be pretty equal, and you have to live up to that, right? They're looking over your shoulder.
100%. That you know, part of this process is preparation for litigation. It just is. We are guided by a number of things. Number one, you're guided by the numbers. So the numbers are number one. That's the goal of redistricting. But, I mean, then the laws come into play. The federal constitution comes into play. The state constitution comes into play. And then your case law. All you just discussed a case. There's so many of these cases which continue to narrowly define and continue to hone in on what you can and can't do as a state when you're drawing these lines. And so there's just so many of these considerations. And then think about it. When you're drawing these lines, there's always going to be someone who thought you should have done it one way, someone who always is going to think you should have drawn it another way. And the side that's not happy, their recourse is to litigate, is to sue. And that's what's going to happen. I expect we'll have litigation on every single map here in Louisiana.
Well, it's the American way. I'll see you in court.
Yeah. Keeps lawyers employed.
Yeah, good point. So you're doing a series of community meetings around the state, focusing on the redistricting that's coming up. What do you hope to accomplish from those meetings?
Yeah, I hope to accomplish a couple things. Number one, the primary goal is to hear from the public. That is the reason we're traveling the state. The reason we've picked the locations we're going in is to hear from the people in those areas how and where they would like these districts to go, how they would like them to look, and where they would like them to go. The second is to educate. You know, you want to go into an area, you want to educate them on the process like we're discussing right now, and you want to educate them on potential changes that they could be seeing or maybe why some of the things they're offering are not realistic. And it's an educational aspect, but really that primary goal is to go into a community and understand what they want to see and what makes that community socio and economically connected to their neighbors.
How much of your job was as a representative or as working with committees do you feel like amounts to public education, informing the people about what the actual facts are, kind of letting them know or doing this kind of publicity for this kind of initiative?
Yeah, no, that's a tremendous part of just being a representative is explaining to people the process a lot of the times, explaining to people why it's not as simple as just saying do this. And people, the public, there is a good percentage of the public that's very engaged and very knowledgeable and pays attention. But the vast majority of the public does not micromanage what we do. They read one article in a paper and come to a conclusion. And we have to explain a lot of times the process behind that. And I think redistricting is going to be the same. You're going to have a lot of people, let's just take a partisan perspective, a Republican or a Democrat. A Republican, well, you need to draw all Republican districts. With Democrats, I would like more Democrat districts. It's not that simple. There's so much that goes into redistricting that you have to explain to people. A lot of what we're talking about today. And so, yeah, being a representative, especially a state representative, I explain this to people all the time. I am a one of 105 state representatives. I represent my small community. That's what I was sent up there to do. I've been sent there to basically what the majority of my area would like to see represent their interests. And you can't lose sight of that in any aspect of this job.
So as a representative, and according to your own numbers, you are currently or will be soon representing 44,359 unique people in Louisiana and not the other 4.3
No,
4 million, whatever.
You won't. And you know, I get told this is an interesting topic that we discuss in the legislature all the time. I have people who lobby me and they say, well, you need to do this because this is what's good for the state. And, you know, look, the Senate, I think, gets away with that a lot. I think from a House perspective, our districts are so small relative to the state. I really do think the mandate is there to do what's best for your local community. You know, I mean, you're the guy or female that they sent up there to do a job. But look, it's a struggle because sometimes I can see that things are best for the state, but not necessarily for my community. And I have to balance and weigh those issues and really make that decision. But I really always do try to side with my local area. I certainly want the state to do well, and I'm always have that in at the forefront of my mind and my decision making. But when it comes to the House with 105 of us, if I'm not protecting my local area, who is? There is no one else. And so that's a big part of the job. And when I tell people who are interested in running for state rep, I always talk about that. I say, you really are going to be struck with these difficult decisions about what's best for you and your small community versus the state. So it's not easy, but also it's not rocket science, you know.
Well, probably being a people person helps a lot. The special session, which is anticipated for redistricting, I think is scheduled to start somewhere around February 1st. So this is when you're going to be drawing the lines. When we say drawing the lines that create the districts, I'm assuming that you're not going to get out your magic marker and take a Big Mac to Louisiana and start going wild. So what's the process of actually drawing the lines? I mean, is it a committee process, staff, outside groups, demographers, statisticians? How does this all work?
Yeah, you know, I think taking into public participation, it's all of that. I'll tell you, I've never done it before, obviously. This is the first time I've ever been not only involved in the redistricting process, but certainly it involved with being in charge from a House side. So a lot of this is new for me. I'm learning on the fly. What I've tried to do is speak to the former chairman of this committee, former Senate chairman of that committee, to understand this process better. And I would tell you that my goal is to take public participation first. I think drawing lines right now is counterproductive to the whole process before I've had an opportunity to go in these communities and hear what's going on. But I tell you, my goal is to use my staff that is very knowledgeable and any other resources that I have at my availability and sit down and do it myself if I'm the one who's going to be handling the bill. I really do think that's it. But it's not just about me. It's about number one, I started in January and met with all 105 members. I say 105 because I actually met with one or two extra. We've had some changes since then. I met with every single member of the House. I met with all the members of the PSC. I've met with most of the BSC members, all the members of Congress. So I'm taking what they would like to hear and their suggestions. I'm going to travel the state, take the public suggestions of what they would like to hear, and I'm going to try to use that in conjunction with the numbers and the law and really just a general fairness to draw these maps. But as I expect, if this map is going to be, if the bill, because again, we're talking about a bill, even though we say map, if this bill is going to have my name on it or the speaker's name, or I'm going to be the one who's tasked with handling this on the floor and in committee, I want to be the one intimately involved with withdrawing it. And I think I'm in a unique position with the experiences that I've had starting in January to be able to do that job. So I expect I'm going to do it, obviously just not alone. I don't want to pass that off to anyone else. But that process, in my opinion, can't start until I hear what the public wants to see.
Well, you know, I was thinking back to, and by the way, if you're just tuning in, we are talking to Representative John Stefanski, who is, of course, leading the redistricting effort that the state is involved with in the House. I'm thinking back to 10 years ago, and Southwest Louisiana really was kind of controversial in terms of the redistricting because we lost a congressperson and we ended up with a race in which there were two congresspeople running in the same district, of course, Jeff Landry and Charles Bustani. And there was a lot of talk about how to create the congressional district. And there were people who were advocating of making a West Louisiana district running from Shreveport all the way down and including Lake Charles and Calcasieu. So having the west side of the state be one continuous district. So we don't have to lose a congressman this time around, thank goodness, but there will be some pressure because the northern parts of the state, both east and west, have lost some population. So what do you think is going to happen in terms of that congressional map?
Yeah, you know, I continue to tell people I do think the congressional map is going to be the most difficult, even though it's only six districts. We were lucky enough not to lose a congressman like 10 years ago. So you don't have that theme of two districts are going to have to get merged together. But it's still a very difficult map to draw. North Louisiana, if you just take the 4th and the 5th congressional districts, looking at those two, they lost a combined almost 80,000 people. So just very difficult. If you're going to keep the current geography of Congress as it currently looks, those two North Louisiana districts, the 4th and the 5th, are going to be, they're just going to be tough to draw. And so I think we're going to have that. I think not only that, but if you look historically, the Congress is the map or the bills that get the most introductions from both from members, both from the public. So I think you're going to have a lot of public input on what they think it should look like. You're going to have a lot of different variations from the members of what it should look like. You have these massive population shifts that we saw, loss in North Louisiana, a lot of growth along the I-10, I-12 corridor in the major metro areas. So you take that all in combination, and it's difficult. Not only that, let's talk about the congressmen themselves. You know, the congressmen have certainly an input in a strong opinions of what their district should look like. And so, I mean, you have that element, you know. Just our congressmen, look, I know them all. I have good relationships with them all. They have very good relationships with members in the House and the Senate. So, I mean, when you talk about the legislature having to redraw that, they're you know, the big elephant in the room. And while they're not the ones who actually get to vote on it, their opinions are going to weigh heavily in this process. And I don't think there's any way to get around that. And I think that's a good thing. I've met with them for a reason. I've met with them because I want to know what they want. Same way I've met with our House members, the PSC members, and the BSC members. I have a desire to hear what they have to say, but it's going to be a combination of all those elements we've talked about. What does the public want? What are the congressmen's desires? What are our members' desires? But again, what do the numbers say? If the numbers are leaving North Louisiana in droves, what is best for the state as a whole on how that map should look like?
Yeah, and you can't just substitute any numbers you want because of a historical thing. Now, in the old days, we used to draw districts based on political boundaries, and you'd say, okay, well, Orleans Parish always gets 7, right? or whatever it was. But those days are over, so now you're kind of stuck because the courts have ruled that they do have to be pretty equal, so you can't just willy-nilly say, oh, don't worry, we're going to protect North Louisiana.
Yeah, no. And look, there's so much case law out there now. There's so much case law, and I mean, there's so much guidance you can get. Not only that, it's so easy to draw maps with our current technology. Anyone can just get on the internet and draw these maps. It's a new age. You know, it just is. I mean, think about, can you imagine 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, there were, you know, no internet, no ability to be able to use an application to draw these maps. You had to be an expert. And you had to be privy to the exact numbers to have any idea of what was going on. Those days are gone. The public is educated and savvy enough and tech savvy enough to be able to be a real part of this process. And so with that comes a very transparent, modern approach to map drawing. And I think that's what we're going to see more than ever this year.
I think you're absolutely right. Redistricting has been accused of a number of sins. And protecting incumbents, gerrymandering for partisan or racial advantage. Do you expect that to be going on?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I think what's interesting is the general public, you know, they look at it and they go, oh, it's gerrymandered. And I mean, there's so many different elements of that you can have a constitutional gerrymander, you know, and you can have a constitutional racial gerrymander. But you can also have an unconstitutional one. And so there's so many tests. But yeah, those elements are going to be there. We're going to hear themes of, well, that district looks gerrymandered from a person that maybe doesn't understand the full meaning of it. But you're also going to have the experts who are saying it is and do have a full meaning. Those elements are going to remain the same. Protecting incumbents is actually one of the criteria that we established here in Louisiana and has been upheld by the courts as being a traditional redistricting criteria of not pitting incumbents against each other and drawing districts along traditional boundaries so that constituents and voters can have commonality. So those elements aren't going away.
Well, let's ask a difficult question. All the other ones up till now have been softballs. you're Republican. The House is two seats away from a supermajority of Republicans. The Senate's already got a supermajority of Republicans. How tempted are you going to be, or what's the plan? Are you planning on creating a locked-in supermajority for Republicans in the House?
So I'll answer that question this way. My goal as chairman of this committee is to pass a map or maps that ultimately become law. And that is at the forefront of my thought constantly. And so I'm very aware of that. My goal as chairman is to draw legal by the numbers districts that survive challenges. And so that's my goal. Now, look, you can't take the politics out of this process. I think anyone would be naive to say that. Everyone is just going to be perfectly fair and no politics are going to get involved. That's ridiculous. That can't happen. But all I can say is, as chairman of this committee, my goals are those. I want to pass maps that survive. I don't want someone else to do my job. I certainly don't want my legacy as chairman of House and Governmental Affairs to be the guy who couldn't get it done and a court had to draw his districts. And so that's my primary goal. I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative Republican. I can't do anything about that either. You know, I mean, that is going to be involved in this process. But as chairman and as the person who's probably going to handle a majority of these maps, my goals are to create fair, legal, by the numbers districts that survive challenges. And at the end of the day, that's really what I care about.
And we do have a history in this state. If you remember far enough back before you were born, I believe the courts did handle redistricting in Louisiana when Louisiana was unable to do it. And I think Parr, Public Affairs Research Council person, was designated as the person to draw those maps. So the courts really did get involved, and you certainly don't want to go down that road.
Yeah, I mean, look, we were vested in the state constitution with that power for a reason. It's our duty to do that. And I think all the members should have that in the forefront of their thought. You know, yeah, you might have some you might be sitting there as a Republican going, we got to get to a supermajority. And on the Senate side, well, I'm a Republican. We got to maintain our supermajority. I'm a Democrat or independent. We need more diversity. We need more moderate districts. I think, look, that's natural. But at the end of the day, when you're thinking about big picture, I hope my colleagues all understand the big picture is that we need to accomplish our job. That's what we were sent up here to do. Our constituents send us up there to pass laws and represent our areas. And if we lose sight of that on some of these smaller goals, I think we're doing a disservice.
Do you expect the governor to weigh in? And what do you think his influence will be?
Yeah, no, I do. Now, I haven't heard from his staff. I haven't heard from his attorneys nor him anything about their intentions for redistricting. Whether that's intentional or not, I don't know. Us being from different parties, you know, it's not unusual that we don't have a great line of communication. However, look, it's no secret. We just talked about it, a supermajority of Republicans on the Senate side, almost a supermajority of Republicans on the House side, and a Democrat governor sitting there with his veto authority over all these maps. I think he's going to be the elephant in the room. He's going to play a big part of this process. And I think when the time is right, he is probably going to be pretty direct about what he wants to see. But, you know, I'm not the governor. I can't, you know, fortune tell or predict the future on what he's going to do. But, yeah, I think, again, you're being naive as a member if you think the governor is just not going to have an interest in it or not going to use his authority. Because what Governor Edwards has shown me over his two terms is that he certainly uses all of his influence that he can to effectuate the process.
Well, I think back to Bobby Jindal and redistricting last time he was governor, and he stepped in to say there will be two vertical districts. The 4th and 5th district will remain kind of north-south districts rather than east-west. But, of course, now with John Bel Edwards, you have a Democratic governor there who may think that it's advantageous for Democrats to create a more horizontal scheme. And I'm just wondering if you think he would be willing to take that on, or have you heard anything like that?
So, yeah, obviously, you know, I wasn't there when Governor Jindal was there, but I've heard the same thing. Governor Jindal kind of gave a mandate. Hey, look, I'm not going to tell y'all what Congress needs to look like, but it'll have two North Louisiana districts. Does Governor Edwards come out and say, we're going to have one North Louisiana district? We're going to have, I want South Louisiana to look this way? I don't know. I can't predict that. But at the same time, I think, again, what we talked about with Congress earlier, we're going to see every variation. I have heard a multitude of different ideas about how these maps should look like. I've seen examples of some of these variations of what they should look like. So absolutely. Do I think we'll get a proposal where it's one North Louisiana district? Yes. Do I think we'll get a proposal to where there's possibly two minority districts or more moderate type of districts? Absolutely. I think we're going to see everything. What catches traction and what ultimately can get enough support to pass? That's a whole other topic of conversation. So it will be, you know what, I am interested to see, though, if the governor does come out and he says it has to look this way or that way, how does the legislature react? That'll be interesting.
It will be. We've got about slightly over a minute left in our interview. A number of states have moved to a nonpartisan commission type districting, moving away from legislative districting as is traditionally done. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's not something I would support. So number one, I think you would have to ask yourself, what's the goal of that? So is the goal to get away from the partisan or the all the politics? I don't think you ever will, because who's going to appoint this commission? I guarantee you the people that appoint the commission are going to have some type of a political affiliation. Half the time it'll normally say 5 Republicans and 5 Democrats. And so I don't think you're ever getting away from the politics with that. Second of all, like I said, this is a power that's been vested in the legislature. I think it's a job that we can do. We've shown we can do it, and I think we can do it legally and effectively. So it's not something certainly as a member, I rise up to the challenge. I want that. In the future, maybe somebody will change their mind. But if the goal of that, because I do hear that, if the goal of that is to get the politics out of this, you're not. I don't see a way which you're doing that.
Yeah. Well, we've more or less come to the end of our interview. We've been talking this morning with Representative John Stefanski, who is the chair of the House Governmental Affairs Committee and will be in charge of the redistricting process in Louisiana upcoming. Thanks for being on the show. Enjoyed the conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And you know, any of your listeners, I just really do encourage them, get involved in this process. You know, submit your ideas if you have them. Attend these meetings. You can find all of our meetings and our locations on our legislative website, legis.la.gov. You click on redistricting right there. Boom, you can find a timeline of everywhere that we're going to go. Really encourage you and your neighbors to attend those meetings. Give us that input. That's what we need in order to be able to have your voice heard and also to give us all of the information we need to draw these districts.
All right. Thank you, Representative.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Bayou de Bellway is copyrighted by KRVS for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without written consent of KRVS is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of KRVS, its officers, or members. To listen to a podcast of the interview we just heard, go to krvs.org. krvs.org.
J.S. Bach composed some of the most glorious cantatas and oratorios ever written. And we'll hear a narrative selection from the Leipzig Bach Festival under the motto, Bach's Messiah. I'm Christina Burak. Get ready for awe-inspiring performances in this Deutsche Welle Festival concert.
Monday nights at 7 on KRVS.
Born on the Bayou, with music from John Fred, Van Broussard, Don Rich, Fats Domino, Rod Bernard, T.K. Hewlett,
the Harlem Shuffle,
Lee Kleinpeter with you for an hour of solid Louisiana gold, Saturday afternoon at 3 on KRVS for Born on the Bayou. Join me for an enduring and endearing hour of swamp pop and more this Saturday on KRVS, Born on the Bayou.
Howdy, Bart.